Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, y'all? Y'all know what it is. The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast back on the airwaves again. Eddie Greer III here with you guys once again, live from Manhattan, Kansas, on this Friday afternoon, the 1st of May, and NASCAR is back in a couple weeks. Get Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Again, NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, Get Outdoor Truck Series. We got it all, as usual, here on the podcast. Back again, doubling up this week here, kicking off y'all's work week on the right note. And it is official. We talked about this on the last time of the podcast before we dive in quickly. And we have this is the special guest interview here coming up very shortly here. Before we dive into all that, of course, @Eddie_EG3 is my Twitter handle. Again, @Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. And of course, Three Wide Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast at, whether it's Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and much more. Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, baby. Better get on it. Tell your friends about the podcast because NASCAR is about to resume, and probably a biggest risk in the history of NASCAR coming out of this COVID-19 stuff. NASCAR is going to be the first sports activity in action following the COVID-19 pandemic in a couple weeks. May 17th. Was made official last night or yesterday, one of the two. But NASCAR, we talked about it a little bit in the previous episode of Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. If you missed out on that, please go back and check that out, as well as long as other great content. We've been putting out some good content, so definitely go back, check that out. As we're recording this Friday, May 1st, this special guest episode of the Three Wide Podcast will be going out on Sunday night. Our hiatus of the sports world, our podcasting episodes have been going out as well. So there is that as well. Sound a little bit rushed, if you will. I apologize for that. Due to some circumstances, I probably should have known. But anyways, though, what I do know is our special guest will be on here at the bottom of the hour, about 10 minutes from now. He might even call a little bit early to get it settled out. So, Big D, obviously, still doing the whole social distancing thing. Governor Laura Kelly made her news conference, press conference, last night, and I mentioned on a previous episode of the Three Wide Podcast, it was going to go in over the weekend, and it should on Sunday. It will come down to an end to start these new different phases and whatnot. So, yep, there is that information right there. Our special guest coming on. We'll learn about his story and more coming up. Aaron Bearden, the Motorsports Beat Man, will be on the podcast here coming up shortly. Very excited to have him on the podcast. Finally, after some, it's not schedule issues, but uncertainty, whatnot, on his end. But very thankful that he will join me here shortly. We will dive into all that good stuff here coming up. I'll just give you a little bit appetizer here with you while we wait on Aaron Bearden to join the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast here in a little bit. Yes, NASCAR decides, hey, they've been pushing forward this hard, very, very, very hard, and they got it, of course, you know, due to, you know, the stay-at-home orders between different states. Well, geographically, NASCAR focused on the tracks that they can get to quicker, like Darlington, Charlotte, and much more. Well, bam, we got it right there. And so there is that as well. Let's just run down. The Cup Series is going to be in full force on most of it. And then I mentioned the Xfinity and Truck Series, which we'll probably dive into with Mr. Aaron here. Where's their schedule at? Well, they're going to be appearing, the trucks, the Gator Outdoor Truck Series, will be going only once in this series here. That's on May 26th. Xfinity will be on the action twice during this crazy stretch of races coming up. Of course, this is due out with no fans, May 19th and May 25th. Darlington and Charlotte, respectively. Man, you're going to get some action coming up. I said it on the last time on the 3Wide Podcast. It's going to get hectic really, really fast here coming up. So, the stage is set here. Darlington, 3:30, Fox Sports, on the Fox Family Networks. Fox will have the return of NASCAR Darlington 400 miles race on Fox, May 17th. Then the Xfinity Series, 2 days later, May 19th, 200-mile race on FS1. And then, of course, right back again, a four-day stretch. Cup Series right back at it at Darlington for the 500-kilometer race in prime time. The Xfinity race is in prime time as well. I said it. I mean, prime time is the right time to get these things in. And they answered the call there with that as well. So kudos on that. I mean, the only race obviously in the afternoon is the very first race, 3:30, May 17th on Fox. FS1 has, now we're on the Coca-Cola 600. They're going to still do that, like we've been saying for the last, it feels like we've been saying that forever. Coke 600, May 24th, its original scheduled date, 600 miles on Fox. Then the Xfinity Series returns in action on Monday. Monday Night Racing, 300-mile race on FS1. And then here again, Outdoor Truck Series, we'll be back at Charlotte the next day. And the Cup Series, the following, the Trucks, 26 on FS1, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And then Charlotte to cap off this crazy stretch here to revamp of NASCAR at Charlotte again, the 500-kilometer race on FS1. So they answered two questions. So are these going to be prime time races? 95% of them are going to be, at least when they came out with this block one schedule. And the other, where the hell is the Truck Series and Xfinity Series going to race? That question has been answered as well. Even though we're not going to see the trucks very much, that's at least we get to see them on month's end. The Xfinity Series will be back in action twice this month. So, yeah, man, this is going to be something. And if these drivers have not been staying in shape, obviously, you know, they've been copping this iRacing stuff for the last 2 months. And now, you know, you better be get your mind right for this stretch. This is going to be really test the tail. Obviously, we've been antsy. And keep in mind, folks, all this, we're starting off with no fans in the stands. No fans. And I believe, if I heard from another podcast correctly, there's not going to be much media. Or I'll have to get that from Aaron Bearden here to answer that question as we go along here to hear this afternoon on this podcast, the 3Wide Podcast, the special guest episode with Aaron Bearden coming up the bottom of the hour. Eddie Greer, the third, he was the guys for the 3Wide Podcast. Big D, producing this podcast, still at work. Well, obviously still doing the social distancing thing, but you know, we got phase one coming up of this, of the rebuilding phase, if you want to say that. And then of course, yeah, Big D will be back inside momentarily in the next couple weeks. So that getting back in here in the EG3 household. But yeah, I mean this is what we wanted, right? I mean, NASCAR pushed hard for it and still run their traditional race. The Coca-Cola 600, you got to give kudos to Marcus Smith, everybody involved for pushing this thing forward. And a sense of urgency begins immediately, May 17th, 11 days and 7 races. Yeah, 7 races, 11-day stretch there. I mean, nutrition already is going to play a factor, especially with summer coming up. I believe we're still in the spring spring mode, but summer, it feels like your summer stretch, and we're going to get this right off the bat. We don't know. We don't know the rest of the schedule right now. This is what we got on our dinner plate right now. In primetime races, obviously, Darlington will have a day race and a night race, obviously. And it ain't going to get dark. It doesn't get dark anyway. It's summertime. Spring, summertime. It's a little longer than ours. And we're going to find out immediately. And guys are back in the shop working on these race cars. Now, immediately, we're going to find immediately who's up to the task and who is not in a stretch. And who knows? I mean, if you have a sucky stretch here, a bad race especially, you know, you're going back to the same damn track 4 days later. For 4 days later, so I mean, what's on the line here is you have got to be a little careful here in this instance here. I mean, you wreck race cars, you're gonna be in trouble. I mentioned this in the last on this podcast, so again, we're gonna have to pay a lot more attention here as we move along. As we get even closer to cars on the action racetrack, like I said, iRacing, it's been awesome. And I've already been past this. It's already been passed over my head with iRacing. It's been blessed with that. A little distraction here and there. But with this all set in stone now, I'm ready to see some actual cars on the racetrack battling for position. Who can make their cars handle in the transition? This is going to be a real test because still, though, all these races except, well, Darlington, the day race still, you're going to have that. But all these are transition races, and we're going to find out quickly who answers the bell, who not. And who knows? I mean, obviously, we don't know. I mean, we're probably going to set up playoffs, but we'll find out. I mean, this stretch right here, especially for the Cup Series, could be either a springboard for some momentum, or could be a spring back that momentum. And so it's been quite a while, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there with these racetracks. But again, folks, you just tuned into the podcast here. Aaron Beard in here in a couple minutes on the 3Wide podcast here. Another guest on this podcast. So thankful for him to be on this podcast. Again, we've been putting out great content. So after Aaron Beard, the conclusion of the Aaron Beard interview, we will close out with our usual music and things like that. And on the And I will not talk to you guys again until the next time of the 3Wide podcast. So I'm going to get it in now. Oh, yes. And you want to be a sponsor of the podcast? www.patreon.com/egreer3. Last name, G-R-I-E-R, the number 3. And, of course, E, first initial there. Information is there. You want to be a part of the 3Wide squad. Racing is about to get back in action. Please go check that out, and you can hear your name each week as a sponsor of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast at Eddie_EG3 is the Twitter handle, and the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, get it where you get your sports podcast, whether it's Spotify, Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, much more, including SoundCloud as well. Man, excited to have Aaron on in just a few seconds here, waiting for the call here from him. So definitely, we'll dive into more. Very excited to have him on. We'll get into lots more of this announcement for sure. We'll get into his thoughts on that and much more. And we're actually going to go ahead and step aside right now. And on the other side, we should have Aaron Bearden on the 3Wide podcast coming up. EG3 for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 coming back after this timeout.
EG3 and the 3Wide podcast will be back on the track after this stage break.
Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greeter, third as usual for the podcast. Gator Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three business divisions in all of NASCAR Motorsports. And now, folks, joining me on the line, folks, for the first time on the 3 Wide Podcast, none other than himself. He does the Motorsports Beat that's emailed three times a week, none other than Aaron Bearden himself. Aaron, welcome to the 3 Wide Podcast. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, man. I'm just trying to wake up. I kind of feel like I've been through the big one after being 3 Wide. I work a day job, quote-unquote essential, and I had to go in at midnight tonight and work till 9 a.m. after working till 5 p.m. the day before, so I'm kind of in a haze today, but doing good otherwise, man. Ready to get back to racing. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm on the tired side as well. It's been a long week. A good week, but a long week. Tired and ready to get some rest. But yeah, man, very excited to have NASCAR back in a few weeks. Yeah, I'm very thankful that I also have an essential job as well, traveling around the state, delivering electrical work. So definitely good to have a job there to provide for family, and all, at the same time, very thankful to have NASCAR back in action. Before we talk about that, let's talk about you for a few minutes, Aaron. I'm going to let you take the floor for a few and explain for our listeners here, how'd you get into NASCAR?
Well, I've never not known NASCAR, I guess. I was born into it. My family watched starting in the 80s. Dad's looking for something to watch during the summers when there's nothing but, like, golf and racing on. So became a fan back then. I'd watch all the races with the old Wrangler 3. They were big Dale Earnhardt fans. So I grew up a little tiny Dale Sr. fan in the mid-90s. And then from there, man, it's just I always watched it. And in college, I decided to do something with it. I started writing a blog. I think it was my junior year, just kind of goofing off with it. And people randomly kind of took to it. And before I knew it, man, I was going to racetracks. I hooked up with how we called Front Stretch first after a little stint with Speed 51 on the short tracks. Moved over to kicking the tires for a couple years, and then launched my own little deal here now. I've got Motorsports Beat. I try to tell stories when I can. I do a newsletter that normally is daily. It's called the Morning Warm-Up. I've slowed it down right now just because there's not a whole lot of actual racing going on. But here in a couple weeks when NASCAR comes back, it'll go back to daily since at 6 a.m. And yeah, ready to get busy again, man. I miss traveling. I miss being at the track. I haven't heard anything loud enough to make me deaf in a few weeks. So I don't know what to do with myself, but yeah, really, I got into NASCAR just because it's all I've ever known, and what started as an innocent little side gig that I did for fun turned into something more.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I kind of did the same. Well, I did the same thing, but on a different scale. When I was in going to K-State, I just did something a little bit different than all those other students did when I was doing radio for a student radio station here in town. So did that, and since then I just carried it on to up to now. So that's awesome. So you haven't done any other sports then, have you?
Motorsports, yes. Other like stick and ball sports and stuff, no, not really.
Okay. All right. So you know, during this what have you been doing during the quarantine season? Obviously, we've been waiting for the official word for NASCAR for this part of the schedule to come out, things like that. So what have you been doing other than work to keep your mind busy?
I've been suffering from a lot of leg pain. Back in college in my younger years, I was a big time runner. And when this whole thing happened, I like to take opportunities to kind of step away, refocus, and adjust as I need to. And one thing I noticed is that I felt like I wasn't doing as well physically as I wanted to. So when this all started and we kind of slowed down for a while, I took to running 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week. And I think I've ran like 150 miles probably since the quarantine started. 200. I mean, I'm just constantly going. I'm actually going to go on a run right after this podcast. So it's been fun. Other than that, I mean, racing for being stopped in real life feels like it's been busier than ever with all the esports events going on. We've got everything from like the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series, the IndyCar iRacing Challenge, there's the Supercars All-Stars E-Series during the week, you've got the World Outlaws, USAC, you've got like Jordan Anderson's got his own series, Ryan Vargas has been doing the E-Truck Series Night in America, there's been the Replacement Series. It's like everywhere I looked, I saw another thing saying, hey, we're launching an esports tour. So in a weird way, it's actually almost been busier to try to make sure I'm following everything just because these guys are running at 8 and 9 p.m. on weeknights, and I clock in at my day job at 6 a.m. every day. So it's been interesting, but I definitely don't feel like I've suffered from any lack of busyness or work. I've been as busy as ever during this stint.
Aaron Bearden on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Eddie Greer III here with Aaron Bearden this afternoon. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of running myself here recently. Last year, had an opportunity to do a couple of marathons. And actually, my running revival started a couple of years ago. So I've been doing a lot of running ever since then myself. I'm sore from time to time. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of energy, but I actually ran a couple out. I ran after I got off work before hopping on doing this podcast with you. So, yeah, definitely, it definitely keeps me busy. And unfortunately, with the COVID-19 events that's been happening, you know, the 5Ks and 10Ks and halves, full marathons haven't been going on. Been either been postponed or been canceled due to this. So it's kind of sucked from that instance, but I've recently finished out a training block for a marathon I was supposed to do last weekend, the Oklahoma City Marathon, and of course it got rescheduled for October. So yeah, I finished that out. So, but yeah, running definitely keeps me intact.
I'm going to have to hit you up for some pointers after this.
I'm happy to give you some pointers. Oh, all right. So before COVID-19 interrupted the sports world, what are your thoughts so far, pre-COVID-19, of the NASCAR season so far, prior to all this craziness happening?
Well, it's been interesting, you know. It's hard to tell what it's going to look like when we get back, but before, it felt a little different. You know, the Chevrolet teams were showing some pace. Penske was strong as always. You know, Joey Logano wins two of the first four races. But it was just, it all felt so fresh and so busy. You know, we never really slowed down there through that first stint. We had Daytona and obviously the terrible incident with Ryan Newman and trying to figure out the fallout from that. And then they went straight west, and we've been, you know, chaotic and busy going through that West Coast swing that whole time, which is always a really, I would say, a fairly busy time for the teams and for everybody involved just because of the logistics surrounding it. And, you know, they get back from that, and just when you think you're going to get into the quote-unquote normal stretch of the seasons when everything stops. So it's hard to take too much from it because a lot of the times the teams don't get to make a lot of their adjustments during the West Coast swing, so you don't really see who makes the big progress until they get back. But I was definitely intrigued by the speed that, like, Hendrick Motorsports showed. You know, Penske, like I said, was strong. Kevin Harvick, consistent as always. I think he's still leading the points right now. And then there's been a couple interesting ones to follow in the pack. Like, you look at Matt DiBenedetto early on with the Wood Brothers. He was top 10 in points when this all slowed down. And seen a couple other guys. Chris Buescher's looked decent for Roush so far. You know, there's been interesting things to follow, but it all kind of fell by the wayside when we stopped.
Yeah, for sure. Unexpectedly, yeah. You know, getting a few weeks ago, well, a month and a half ago, so, you know, getting ready for, all right, so you're getting ready for Atlanta. And then all of a sudden, you know, the unfortunate events at an NBA game where a couple of Jazz players were diagnosed with the virus and everything, and then just a huge domino effect just happened. But yeah, I talked about that quite a bit. The Hendrick stable, you know, coming out of the gate strong, especially, you know, Alex Bowman catching my eye a little bit, the recent winner in the iRacing series from last week. He's caught my attention so far this year. With his progress, he's in a contract year. Jimmy Johnson, Social Speed, and Chase Elliott, William Byron, and those guys. So, and Joey Logano, you know, getting the first two wins of the year so far. And with Penske, you know, making the crew chief changes that they did prior to the season started, what were your thoughts on the moves that Roger Penske made? He had a busy offseason entering 2020. He obviously getting IMS, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, getting that deal, and then making the crew chief changes that he did. And then what were your thoughts towards that?
Man, I live in Indiana, so I remember just the hype when he took over IMS and everybody kind of feeling that sense of resurgence there. But, man, I wish the crew chief changed what we were still talking about. That feels like a different season almost now. But, you know, it was an interesting thing to see. It's rare to see teams like Joey Logano had just won the championship in 2018. And albeit he wasn't necessarily the strongest competitor that whole year, but it's rare that a year after a team wins a championship, you see them kind of split up. But, you know, early on, the crew chief changes seemed to be going okay. Ryan Blaney was obviously really fast and was in contention to win really the first three races of the year. And never really got to see what he could do at Phoenix, but, you know, he was leading the points there for a while. Obviously, Logano's got the two wins, and with Paul Wolff calling the shots for him, I think everybody kind of saw that as maybe being the best pairing of the three initially. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think the one we didn't know much about was Brad Keselowski with Jeremy Bowens. And they were a little slow out of the gate, I feel like, but they're still showing pace. He's still 10th in the points, looking strong. So it's still too early to tell. Mm. But initially, I mean, they seemed to pick up right where they left off, and the change, if anything, seemed like it had reinvigorated those guys a little bit. They were looking strong.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know we don't know the rest of the schedule of 2020 due to, you know, if there's going to be another second wave of this virus and whatnot. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do in this 11-day stretch here coming out of the gate starting on May 17th. You know, last year, Penske, they started off strong, but then we didn't really hear much from them for the rest of the year. It was all about Joe Gibbs Racing for the rest of the year. So it'll be interesting to see, especially coming out of this, whatever you want to call it, second off season or whatnot, coming out of the stretch with a couple of tracks here with Darlington and Charlotte. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 continues with Aaron Bearden, our guest here this afternoon on the podcast. Glad that he can join us here. So, kind of backing up to the iRacing, we talked about that some. What have been your opinions on iRacing to this point? Obviously, you know, coming up on Dover this weekend and all the craziness that expired in it. Obviously, it started off on a very, very high note, and then it's kind of, in my opinion, kind of trickled down a little bit. And now with this mini set schedule here for NASCAR coming up, I'm more excited for that. Besides, instead of this iRacing. So, what have been your thoughts with all the stuff that's been going on with iRacing, with different individuals starting up their own gig, if you will?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's obviously had its bad moments, I would say. I mean, you look at what happened with Bubba Wallace, and I don't even have to touch on Kyle Larson, but there have been a few issues that have arisen from it, but overall, I mean, I'm really proud of the racing industry for finding a way to kind of keep themselves going and keep pushing through this and still providing, I would say, value to fans and sponsors and everybody involved. I mean, I don't think anybody deludes themselves into thinking that it's the real thing. Obviously, without the smell and the sights and hearing those loud motors roaring past you, it's not the same sensation. And for the drivers, you don't have the feel per se, even though you can have, I mean, you can have the force feedback on the wheel and you can get a little bit of it, but it's a totally different sensation for them. And you've seen that with some of the strongest competitors in the Real Life Tour Challenge. I mean, look at, for example, Kyle Busch, his first race at Homestead, he struggled. He had to put in a lot of time just to get the hang of it and be able to run top five and top ten. So, you know, it's not perfect, I would say that, but in two ways it's been great. One, just in keeping everybody going and kind of giving us something which other sports can't really do to the same extent. That's been really nice, being able to see like a NASCAR broadcast on Sunday. And then number two, the thing I've been most happy about with all of this is just seeing all the collaboration between all the competitors. Like, this isn't NASCAR, but you look at like Lando Norris from F1 coming over and running the IndyCar race, and now he's going to run the race at the Brickyard this weekend with them. You know, Kyle Busch and Dale Jr. ran a couple of those races, and Kyle tried to make the Brickyard race and just didn't qualify for it. You've had like the series Jordan Anderson's putting on that, bless my heart, I can't remember the name. It's like the Icebox Truck Series, had Santino Ferrucci win yesterday over like Stuart Friesen. Like, in what other time or era would you have seen rundowns like that? Or seen like Bobby Labonte beating Ferrucci and Elliott Sadler in an IROC photo finish? Like, it's not perfect, and, you know, it was never going to be. I think the expectations might have been a little higher for it than they should have been. But it's been really entertaining. It's given us a chance to kind of revisit some old drivers like Dale Jr. and Bobby Labonte that we hadn't really gotten to hear from or see much, when they can run without any risk. And I just think it's been entertaining, man. You take away a couple of the bad moments that have blinded it, and otherwise it's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been definitely been entertaining for sure, just to get take the distraction away from what's been going on in the world recently here the last month and a half where everything is going on. And yeah, iRacing Invitational Series has had its moments for sure, and we've seen a couple of drivers that have been really good at this thing. It's crazy to me that I've listened to this on multiple podcasts I listen to weekly, that the time that these drivers put into this iRacing thing, you know, weekly, whether it's 8 hours a week, sometimes it's more than that. That's crazy. But to see the rise of some of these guys, especially a couple of drivers that come to my mind, like the Timmy Hills and the Garrett Smithleys, we've heard them weekly, you know, do so well at this thing. And then, obviously, you know, when it comes to the real thing, you know, they're in a different equipment that they're not very competitive in. So, from your aspect, Aaron, you know, the success of Garrett Smithley and Timmy Hill, kind of focusing on those two guys, you know, what's going to happen moving forward with those guys, with the success they've both had?
You know, it's hard to say. I definitely think Hill gave his sponsor more ROI than they ever would have anticipated when they first signed up back before Daytona. That's obviously great for him, and Garrett Smithley has ran great, and he's looked good. He's been able to kind of keep himself up front and give his sponsors some attention and everything, but it's so hard to tell right now. You know, when we're getting ready to go back to quote-unquote real life, there's going to be a lot of issues teams are going to face. There are going to be sponsors that are in a much worse position financially than they were before this hiatus. Mm. There are teams that are trying to, you know, scratch and claw just to get through this. And, you know, it's going to be a tough time for a lot of people in the industry, and I'm sure that'll affect Hill and Smithley as much as anybody else. So, you know, if anything, it definitely gave them a little more publicity, and I think if they can keep those Twitch platforms in particular and kind of keep that as a base where they can stream and maybe keep some of those fans engaged, even outside of the normal race weekend, I think that'll be great for them. But, you know, it's really hard to say what it's going to mean for them 6 months from now after we've been running for 4 or 5 months and they're back in their teams, which, while the effort's there, obviously they don't have the resources of like a Hendrick Motorsports or Joe Gibbs Racing. That's probably going to be their biggest struggle, but they definitely have caught more eyes, and they might be able to use that to continue driving some extra value toward themselves and their supporters.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see moving forward what happens with Timmy Hill and Garrett Smithley on that aspect with all the positive success they've had so far in this iRacing series, and how that's going to translate to the, as you said, quote-unquote, real stuff, which is about to begin here in a couple of weeks. The 3Wide Podcast rolls on. Eddie Greer III chatting with Aaron Bearden, who does the Motorsports Beat and / the morning warm-up here, as NASCAR gets going here in a couple of weeks. Aaron, so now, kind of transitioning from that to kind of the recent news that's happened, kind of a surprise. I talked about this the last time on the podcast. I want to go straight to Matt Kenseth. No, I mean, nobody could have predicted that Matt Kenseth will be back in NASCAR, particularly in the position that he's in. And all of a sudden, Chip Ganassi calls him up from left field and says, hey, you want to drive my car? And Matt Kitt said, I haven't listened to the interview recently yet. I'm going to, but Matt, what are your thoughts on Matt Kitt coming back to the series again, but this time taking a place of a playoff caliber ride, the 42 car Chip Ganassi Racing?
Well, you know, Matt Kenseth and Ryan Newman dominating the headlines made me have to, like, double take and check all the websites out. I was like, is it 2003 again? Like, what is happening? But, you know, it's hard to make out what this is going to be. I definitely can't blame Chip for making the move. You know, that is a former champion. He's a very consistent driver. He doesn't wreck a lot of cars. You know, he's not going to be somebody who gets you in any issues off the track, which is something they needed big time in that 42 car. It came out of left field so much, you know. When I thought about them taking a driver like a veteran presence, I thought it was going to be like a Jamie McMurray, if anything, that had former connections. But it just shows the power of Chip Ganassi and that team that they can go out and get an all-star caliber driver like Matt Kenseth. As for how he'll do in the car, you know, it's hard to say. If you ever get bored, go to The Athletic and check out my buddy David Smith's analysis on him and other drivers. He's brilliant with this stuff. But, you know, Ken's just 48 years old, and that's going to bring certain statistical challenges. You know, he's past what you would consider the prime era for a driver just based on age. And it's not to say he's going to run bad, but it might make things a little bit more difficult for him. You know, you might see him drop an extra spot on a restart, or you might see him have a harder time making a pass on some guy. You know, you throw in the fact that he's never ran with the 550 horsepower package, and he's in for a difficult time. But, you know, Kenseth's a very consistent driver. He's shown that he can try to maintain track position and run good if he gets placed up front. And we saw that right at the end of his tenure with Roush, where he finished 7th and 6th the last two races at Phoenix and Homestead. So he's obviously strong. He won a race right before the end of his former full-time career. And he's going to be as consistent and hopefully as dry-humored as ever. So yeah. I'm excited to have him back in the paddock. I'm trying to temper expectations just a little bit based on his age.
Yeah, and you know, going back to David Smith for a minute here, I did read that article a few days ago. So that, yeah, The Athletic, Jordan Bianchi, David Smith, Jeff Gluck, they do such a good job with the NASCAR coverage on The Athletic there. Yeah, I encourage you guys, if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, you better get on that, because they do some great stuff as well as some other sports as well. So yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I should have thought Jamie McMurray when it came to that ride. I don't know why, but there's been some instances that a couple people have mentioned his name, McMurray. So I don't know why I missed that. But yeah, I definitely thought Chastain would be in that car now due to the circumstances. Now that Newman is coming back, being officially cleared this week to be back in that sixth car, now it's Chastain going back to the Xfinity Series. Well, he had the colleague racing ride anyway, so he's going back to that full time. So everyone had him pegged for the 42 car. So yeah, you took my words out of my mouth. I said the exact same thing, Aaron, on the last time of the podcast. Yeah, the Kenseth, it came out of nowhere. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, he started off slow with Roush. When he came back the second time, really struggled, especially at Kansas, multiple laps down, and then all of a sudden ending his, you know, substitution stretch with Roush Fenway Racing. Very strong runs there, like you talked about. So, and there's a couple of people that already pegged him as championship caliber drivers already. I'm like, woo, slow down a little bit. So he's definitely going to be interesting. Obviously, Newman, we talked about him so far on the podcast. That scary accident at Daytona, the final lap, the final stretch there. So, you know, what are your thoughts on Newman? He's been a superhero movie star, if you will. You know, coming back, not injured, somehow not injured, be able to walk away out of the hospital with his daughters out of the hospital. That image is still fresh in my mind. Now he's clear to go back racing. 29th in points, if I'm not mistaken. Now being back in the car, he benefits from the stretch. So what are you thinking if you're Ryan Newman? You have an opportunity now. You got a waiver along with Matt Kenseth for some reason, but you got a waiver from NASCAR. If you win a race, you're going to compete for the playoffs, if there is any. So, Aaron, what are your thoughts on Newman, last thoughts on Newman as he goes back into racing here in a couple weeks?
Well, I'm never going to be happier to hear a driver stuck behind him in cursing. I know that. It's good to have Newman coming back. You know, it was such a downer when he had that crash at Daytona. You know, I was one of many people standing behind the pit wall over there on the front stretch, watching the end of the race. I was out on pit road to be ready for the media bullpen. And I can promise you that race was as terrifying live as it was on television, or that wreck. Mm. It was, you know, your heart immediately sinks and your mind immediately goes to the worst places. And I think there were a lot of us there that night. It was a very dour mood for the rest of the night until we heard that he was going to be okay. So it's amazing that he's coming back so soon after that. It's even more amazing that he somehow timed it up with, like, the one ever regular season total stoppage in NASCAR history so that he could, you know, only miss three races and not be that far out on points. You know, he's only, I think, 54 points out of 16. So it's not even beyond the realm of possibility for him to point his way back into the top 16 to make the playoffs right now. But if anything, you know, that team showed pace. He's got a chance to get a win somewhere down the road. But more than anything, I mean, playoffs aside, statistics aside, just having him back in the paddock and okay this soon after that wreck is a total surprise and a total blessing.
Yeah, definitely is. That is for sure. The 3Y NASCAR podcast EG3 continues with Aaron Bearden, Eddie Gritter, third Hugh, the guys, afternoon on an overcast afternoon here in Manhattan, Kansas, here with Aaron Bearden, who does the morning warm-up / part of the Motorsports Beat weekly. So, okay, so now kind of backing up to, before we get into the schedule here, Aaron, so the Hall of Fame. Obviously, the ballot came out a couple weeks ago with three familiar names: Carl Edwards, Dale Jr., and Jeff Burton. What are your thoughts on the newcomers on that ballot, and who you think's going to be, who you got going into the Hall of Fame for next year?
Oh boy, I always struggle with this. I'm not a huge Hall of Fame person. I'm not somebody who takes a lot of value in awards or anything, so it's never something I track as closely as others. But obviously these are three guys that are wildly deserving, and it's really hard to tell, especially with the new Hall of Fame format he's going to go in. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dale Jr. get in on his first take just because of his contributions, not only as a driver, but outside of the sport. He's a two-time Xfinity Series champion. He's got a boatload of cup wins. He's won the Daytona 500 twice. It's going to be a hard sell not to put somebody like him in, even though I don't know that he'd be my first. I don't know, man. It's a great class. There's so many deserving guys, and I'm glad they changed the format this year, too, just because I felt like there for a while it was starting to get watered down, like we were inducting too many people too quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hopeful that the changes they've made here are going to kind of temper that a little bit, but if you're going to put me on the spot and make me pick two guys, I don't even know that I could tell you, man. Junior, I feel like, is going to get in. I don't know if he'd be mine.
Yeah.
I think Burton might take a year or two to get in. I feel kind of the same way about maybe Edwards. And outside of them, it wouldn't surprise me to see somebody like, I don't know, maybe like a Neil Bonnett get in. And then on the other side, on the legend side, I don't know, maybe somebody like a Red Farmer. I'm not sure.
Mm. Yeah, I'm the same lines with you on Dale Jr. I got a feeling he's going to get in on the first ballot, even though he's been the most popular driver for like 14, 15 consecutive years, has a couple of Daytona 500s, he's won his shared races. Yeah, he's going to get there, he's going to get in, but I just got a feeling he's going to get in the first try, even though I wouldn't put him in there on the first year. Yeah, there's other guys on there I find, like, I don't have the list in front of me, but there's Kurt Schermerdine, Harry Gantz on there, Mike Stefanik. Can't believe he's not in there. in the Hall of Fame already there, but still in the ballot there. So there's, yeah, there's other guys in there I would vote. Yeah, Carl Edwards is interesting to me due to he just taking Jeff Gluck's word that he used the other day. He ghosted NASCAR with his all of a sudden surprise retirement from NASCAR. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, you know, when the official voting comes out, which drivers come in. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, if Dale Jr. does go in, I hope he goes in alongside Kirk Shelmerdine, because I think that would be so cool for him to be able to go in with, like, maybe his dad's best crew chief. Like, yeah. I think that would be really cool for both of them.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I like that. I like that, Aaron. I like that a lot. Awesome stuff. All right, so yesterday, the current revised schedule, mini block, if I call it, came out yesterday. We're going to go back racing in a couple weeks, Sunday, May 17th, at Darlington with the Cup Series. And then I kind of want to talk about the Xfinity and trucks here for a few minutes, Aaron, if you will, here. So I mentioned on my last episode of the podcast that I did that, you know, we talked about so much about the Cup. When's the Cup Series going back racing? When the Cup Series going back racing? But what about, you know, the Xfinity Series? What about the Getting Outdoor Truck Series? I asked about that. Well, got that answered with this crazy stretch of races, the Xfinity Series. I had it there for a second here. Let me go back here for a second here real quick. Anyways, Xfinity, they're going to be racing twice, obviously, in a stretch in the Truck Series. Only one time during the stretch. That's going to be at Charlotte. I want to say that's May 26th, if I'm not mistaken there. But, you know, given that fact here, what are your thoughts on this crazy schedule here coming up for NASCAR coming up? Anticipation of actual racing coming up for NASCAR.
I just kind of had the realization that I'm never going to sleep again. 7 races in 11 days. Most of them night races, a lot of them midweek, and I work a day job clocking at 6 a.m. So I'm in for a rough time. But, man, the industry needed this. I know it's really early, and there are a lot of people, myself included, that have concerns about this, right? There's a big risk associated with this right now, but the industry was hurting bad. I've heard from a lot of people in there that they really needed to get going, like, I hate to use the phrase sooner than later because it's so cliche, but there were a lot of them that were really struggling and needed to get back and get racing and get some money coming into the programs again. So I'm hoping this is going to help them. I'm hoping it works out. It's good to see the Xfinity and Truck Series mixed in with it. I know there were some concerns about that. Some people thought they might not come back for a few weeks afterwards. And those teams, they might need money as bad or worse than the Cup teams. So that's huge for them. They're definitely going to have the bigger challenges. I think you got a lot of young kids in those tours, a lot of them that don't have experience running at some of these places.
Oh, man.
So you take a kid that's never ran at Darlington and you throw them out there with no practice and no qualifying. That could get really interesting. But, it's really good to see the paddock coming back, and it's going to be extremely busy. But I think everybody's ready for that challenge. You know, they're ready to grind, they're ready to work through it and kind of get the ball rolling again on a season that was just picking up momentum right when it stopped.
Yeah, that's the main thing coming out from this is, you know, we're getting good racing from the races prior to all this happening. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, with the current situation coming up, yeah, it's definitely going to be must-see TV, if you will, with, you know, no qualifying and no practice, and you sail off into turn one at Darlington on a sunny afternoon. That's going to be something there. But obviously, you know, there's veterans in the Cup Series that have been at that racetrack multiple times, so I'm sure they're going to be okay with that. But yeah, you hit on something there, Aaron, there, is that the young guys, especially the Trucks and Xfinity Series guys, you know, who have not been at those places that are famous for NASCAR history, like especially a Darlington and a Charlotte that have not been at that place that needed the time and experience, the laps, if you will, to get comfortable. Well, they're gonna have to get comfortable and comfortable fast if they're gonna be successful at those racetracks. So I find that very interesting from the aspects there. And kind of to follow up a little bit on that, yeah, Darlington, you're going to be racing there, the Cup guys especially, on a four-day span, and Charlotte, the Cup Series, on a four-day span as well, with different mile sets, including the 600, so they pushed hard for it. NASCAR, I know from listening and reading stuff lately that they've been really pushing this hard. I talked about this before you came on the podcast today. They've been pushing at this real hard, so, and that's been my main concern is, you know, the second wave of the virus, you know. You know, that's been the other thing that's been going on. I'm worried for that aspect of it, but yeah, I'm glad to see, you know, the people in the industry back at work and working on race cars and getting a good park on the racetrack.
Oh, I agree. I share the same concerns. Obviously, there's a risk that, let's just throw a name out there. Let's say Tyler Reddick gets up to 17th in points and then he starts showing symptoms. Well, now he's out for 2 weeks and you get a waiver, but how are you going to make up those lost points? You know, there are concerns that NASCAR is going to have to work through on that. And I also hate that ARCA didn't manage to get included with this. I saw they postponed their Charlotte date. It's going to be hard for those teams. But, you know, it's the industry felt like they needed to come back, and this gave them an opportunity to do it. So the calculated risk, but I'm really hopeful that it's going to work out.
Yeah, you speak for a lot of NASCAR fans out there, including myself, included obviously, that works out that, you know, nothing negative comes out of this, especially because NASCAR, they're obviously going to be the first sporting events live back on track following this very difficult situation that we've been dealing with for the last couple of months. So definitely it's great. I'm excited to see actual, don't get me wrong, I love, you know, going back and watching old races, whether it's Darlington or whatnot, or old sporting events, football, whatnot, but I'm ready to see actual stuff happening on the racetrack, and we're definitely going to see it soon. This is the 3-1 NASCAR Podcast, EG3, Eddie Gritter III with Aaron Bearden for a couple more minutes. Glad he can join us here on the podcast. So, all that saying now, so, looking ahead toward a couple weeks, you know, what are you looking forward to most here? I know it's going to be a crazy, crazy time here coming up here for NASCAR. What's one thing that you're going to be keeping an eye on as the Cup Series gets back going? Obviously, the last time the Cup Series was on track, Joey Logano held off Kevin Harvick at a great duel at Phoenix, right? So now, turn the page over back to Darlington here in a couple weeks. What's one thing that you're going to keep in mind here as Cup Series gets back rolling here?
Well, during this two-week stretch, we're going to run as many races as we had ran in the whole season beforehand in Cup. So we're going to see a lot change probably in a hurry. I'm really curious to see what drivers and what teams are able to either keep the momentum going they already had, or what teams will be able to find that next gear and kind of pick things up. So, like, you look at Harvick and Logano, top two, I don't think that's surprising. But seeing three Hendrick drivers, third through fifth on the points, that's not something we've seen in a while. So can Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, Jimmy Johnson, and maybe William Byron, back a little further, pick that pace up right where they left off and keep contending? You know, that's one thing to watch for. Can Matt DiBenedetto and the Wood Brothers continue to run top ten and show pace? And what about the Toyota guys? You know, we've seen them work their way through the field in races, but they've had issues qualifying early in the year, kind of set themselves up on the bad foot, and then they've struggled to push through it. So, you know, can a guy like Martin Truex Jr., his first year as the new crew chief, stuck 15th in points, can he push his way toward the front? And can guys like Eric Jones, you know, he's way back in 21st right now, can he get his way back up there? You know, we've seen him contend. He's had horrible playoff luck. I mean, horrible playoff luck. Mm-hmm. But, you know, can he find that pace, become the consistent winner that we think he is, and be one of those championship guys? Now, that's going to be the big thing to watch for. And we've got a lot of shakeup that's going to come. You know, Kyle Larson's sitting top 10 in points right now. That's obviously not going to last. Ryan Newman's way back. Is he going to be able to pull his way forward? You know, there's a lot of questions that need resolved. And it's so early in the season, we don't fully know everything yet anyways. But
right.
The biggest thing I'm looking forward to is just watching those guys, Soares plays out, and seeing how things have to flow.
Yeah, we have not. Yeah, interesting that you bring up the Toyotas, Aaron, that, you know, they don't qualify well. But, you know, it's been a recurring pattern with them that they don't get out of Tech the first time. It takes them a couple of tries to get out of Tech. You know, they've had some issues already through four races and whatnot, and yeah, you mentioned Truex there in 15th. He's had good runs, but can't finish them due to other circumstances there. Hamlin and Kyle Busch had their issues, and yeah, Eric Jones in a contract year stuck back there in 21st there, and yeah, you hit on him. Bingo on him. Yeah, he's had terrible luck in the postseason there, and he's in a contract situation there, so definitely going to be a storyline to follow for sure. Yeah, and William Byron, with all the success in iRacing the last couple weeks, I want to talk about him there for wrapping up the podcast here. I mean, yeah, with all his success, obviously, you know, his upbringing started in iRacing, and obviously, you know, contended for a championship in the Truck Series, and then obviously he's a champion in the Xfinity Series, and this is his third year in the Cup Series. With his recent success in the iRacing, can it translate? This is a big year for Byron still, though. It's still early, obviously, but Aaron, can he translate some of that success that he's had at iRacing to the Cup Series? We know he can win in NASCAR. We've seen it through his rise in NASCAR. Can he finally put it together in the Cup Series?
Well, he's got some cat named Chad Knaus calling the shots on top of the pit box, so I figure he's got a shot, right? Yeah, it's hard to say the iRacing itself will translate that much. I think it's been a great way for him to add value to his sponsors and everybody because he's so good at it. You know, he's been kind of in a league of his own for about half of those iRacing events, but when it comes to real life, you know, we're still waiting to see. I think, you know, Byron's kind of in that stage where Chase Elliott started blossoming a couple years ago. You know, he's in his third year. He's shown potential. You know, he was a playoff driver last year. Now it's time for them to make that next step. And he did the very 24-driver thing of winning one of the dual races before he ever got to victory lane in a points race. But now we have to wait and see if he can find a way to win one of these races. And I think his team's got the pace. You know, Hendrick Motorsports in general has been strong, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit to see him come up and win a race somewhere along the stretch, but we need to see that come from him at some point this year, and I'm not sure when that will be. I do think he will win a race probably somewhere in the middle stretch, but I think that will be the key. I think he's very similar to Elliott in that he needs that first win to kind of drop his shoulders, relax, and start rattling off multiple ones.
Yeah, that's that old cliche, Aaron, right there. Yeah, you know, Chase Elliott, it took him quite a while with all the missed opportunities that he had before. He finally broke through at Watkins Glen a couple years ago, and then he started riding him off a little bit. Yeah, and then William Byron, yeah, the same thing. He needs that win there to get the huge monkey off his back, if you will, and then we definitely, with the direction of Chad Knaus, see him contend for more victories. Good, good stuff, Aaron. All right, sir. What's up next, and where can people follow you on social media, sir?
Well, I'm hoping what's up next for me is a trip to the track at some point. We don't know what the media guidelines are yet. I obviously would like to at some point get to the track to get back in the flow of things. When you're not there, you miss out on things. But I'll do whatever I have to do under the guidelines. I'd rather the sport get going than me be greedy and try to get there. But in terms of following me, it's me, AB93. I'm Aaron Beard 93 on pretty much every social media. Twitter's my big one, as you know. I'm not as big on the other ones. I'm not a huge social media guy for as much as I like it and use it. So I would say that, Aaron Beard 93. My outlet is Motorsports Beat, at Motorsports Beat. Same thing on pretty much every outlet. Working on building that up, hoping to start hiring some staff here soon. I had some debt issues last year that I had to work through that put me about 8 months off my trajectory that I planned, but we're getting there. Other than that, man, just looking forward to getting going. I appreciate you having me on. I hope I haven't been too terrible for you, and excited to get back racing again.
Yeah, you've been great today, Aaron. Yeah, I was wondering about that with the media and everything else, with obviously with the no fans being at these races here coming up here, and you still don't have any idea what the media is going to be like. Will they be able to attend the races, or will you have to watch it from home?
Yeah, I don't know for sure yet. I don't think, for as much as we do, obviously we're not the main competition. No, we are. The main things they have to worry about in the immediacy in the moment are making sure the competitors themselves can get in and out of things safely, and making sure that they have at least enough of a broadcast platform for TV to show it. So I don't blame them. I know they're probably working on those kind of details right now, and I will abide by whatever their ruling is. I'm just excited to find out when I can get back to the track.
Very, very exciting stuff, Aaron. You have been awesome here this afternoon, and great to have you on, finally get you on the podcast, and we ought to do it again here sometime down the line, maybe later on this year. But you've been great. Thank you. I appreciate your time for being on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast this afternoon, Aaron. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man, thank you. You have a good one.
All right.
Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.